They said, sir, I just think it's inappropriate for you to say, pay these guys a lot of money. Can you believe it? I said, well, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not.
I'd certainly prefer it if you liked my show. But as long as you're listening and engaging, this is The Point, folks. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a very fine guest joining me for this next half hour. His name is John Burke. He's the president of the global business you know as Trek Bicycles. I hope you're riding one around your beautiful Wisconsin neighborhood enjoying the fall colors. He's been on the show before. He's joining me and special co-host Tom Paulswitz for this next half hour. You're going to want to listen to everything John has to say, because not only is he an incredibly successful business leader, he's a three-time author, he's an independent voter, and he's got a couple of things to say, but keep it locked through the whole show, because we're ending up today with an incredible interview with Sarah Jessica Parker. Yes, that SJP of the Shoe and Sex in the City fame. We've got everybody coming together on the Maggie Dawn Show. Welcome back, John. It's a real pleasure to have you. Thank you for taking the time, sir.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Let's just jump right in, because you and I got to talking last time, and we barely got enough time for me to ask you the most important question these few days out from the election, which is, John, you're an independent, again, successful global businessman. You're a corporate leader. You're an independent. Who are you voting for and why?
I think if you take a look at it, you basically have two choices. You have Donald Trump and you have Kamala Harris. And the way I look at it from a business point of view, I kind of step back and take a look at all the facts. And I'm a big facts guy. And I take a look at Donald Trump, and I think he disqualifies himself. I think he takes himself out of the race for three reasons. First is, almost half the people who worked for him before in his cabinet, who spent thousands, tens of thousands of hours with him, are not supporting him. They're saying, no, don't do it. And so I think they know more than I do. I think they know more than any of us know. And you have people like John Bolton, and you have his chief of staff, John Kelly. You've got Mike Pence. You have people who are saying, don't do it. They know more than we do. The second reason why I think he disqualifies himself is he lies all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people counted when he was in the White House 30,000 lies. If you took a look at him during one press conference, it was 60 times. He says things that are just not true. And I don't think you can run for the highest office in the land. I don't think you can occupy the Oval Office. This is a serious matter before the American people. This isn't some reality TV show joke.
Yeah.
This is the real deal, everybody. And we need a serious person. This is the leader of the free world. And you can't run around making up lies all the time. And the third reason is I love history. And historians rate presidents. I mean, who else would rate the presidents? And historians do it. Nonpartisan people rate the presidents. Five of the top 10 are Republican, five are Democrats. And almost every group that rates the presidents puts Donald Trump near the bottom.
Yeah.
For his term, the term he served. We all had the benefit of having watched the person in the job for 4 years. We know what's coming. And if I took a look at those 4 years and I go, no thanks. And I think people really ought to take a look at this. These are challenging times all around the world. There's serious stuff going on. There are bigger issues today. The globe faces bigger issues today than we have ever faced. I'm talking about climate change. I'm talking about the threat of nuclear war. I'm talking about healthcare crises. The list goes on. There are serious issues, and I really believe this isn't a normal presidential campaign. This isn't Obama versus Romney.
Yeah.
This is not a normal campaign where if one side loses, we're fine. This is not that. Right. This is a different game.
Last count, I've been trying to keep a rough tally. Over 400 historians have spoken out publicly, which is, and people sort of, oh, it's 400 historians. And 23 Nobel winning economists have spoken out and said they're supporting Kamala Harris. This is really notable. And I think it goes to your point, John. These are people that usually don't do that. They usually do not endorse candidates because they work in a research field. They work in a field that is supposed to be about their objective expertise, bringing new to their something new to their area of study. Their objectivity and independence is something that is central to their success as academics, as researchers. And we've got, you know, literally hundreds of these people expressing their concern. Last tally, not just the 400 historians and the 23 Nobel laureate economists, 100 of Trump's former national security personnel and military personnel. So yes, over half is cabinet. But then you talk about the people that really know the scary stuff, and you've got 100 that are the ones that are speaking publicly. It's really, really shocking. Tom, I know you had a couple of questions and thoughts for John as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll jump in with this one. You know, first off, I agree with you about history. I went to see Doris Kearns Goodwin the other night speak in Brookfield. It was fantastic. And, you know, looking at things through the lens of history gives some kind of idea of where character fits in. John, I think the biggest thing I wanted to ask you is in the business world, you know, when I started running for Congress as a Democrat, I used to have my clients, because I'm a business and executive coach, I used to have my clients come into my office, close the door, lean across the desk and whisper to me, I'm also a Democrat. Mm. Because it's hard to be a Democrat in the business climate, which is part of why people believe that Donald Trump it will do a much better job with the economy because he's such an excellent business person. But that's some backup to ask my question is, you call yourself an independent, but when I look at what your book says and when I look at what you're talking about, it seems to me you're a Democrat. So how can you help me understand, like, what in your mind, what's the difference between right now being a Democrat and being an independent?
Well, I think the biggest thing about being independent is looking at every single issue as it comes up and not being aligned to any one tribe. I think if you take a look at Democrats raise a lot of money. Democrats are loyal to certain segments of the certain segments of the voters, and they just back them no matter what. They don't stand back, put all the issues on the board, look at it and say, you know what? No, we're going to change here. Democrats are married to positions just like Republicans are. Democrats raise billions of dollars from the same places all the time to the people that support them. And I just don't think it's healthy for our democracy. And, you know, I think one of the things we truly need in this country is campaign finance reform.
Yes.
And you don't hear Democrats talk about it. You know, I've said this before, but we're $35 trillion in debt. Yep. Can you tell me what Kamala Harris's plan is? There isn't one.
Right, but they're also talking about things that are at a higher level than that. But I think just going back to the question of what specific things do you feel that Democrats are, I guess, tribal about that doesn't involve helping people? Because they've got a plan on how to make sure everybody gets health care. They have a plan on how to make sure everybody has a living wage. They have a plan to eventually balance the budget, but it has to be through higher taxes and a shifting of resources. So those are the things that Democrats already talk about, but Republicans never talk about those things.
Yeah.
So going back to the question though, is what's the big difference besides just maybe tribal politics when it comes to the current environment and being a Democrat or being an independent?
Well, I can only speak for myself. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I don't vote for one party. I vote for people. I look at Kamala Harris and I look at Donald Trump and I go, are you kidding me? Kamala Harris.
Right.
Okay. That's what I do. I'm an independent. I look at things like the debt and I go, this is what I think the right answer is. I don't have somebody tell me what I should think. It's just that works for me. Other people might say, you know what, I like being aligned to a party. And then I see some things the Democrats do, and I'm like, I don't agree with that. And that's okay. You can't agree with everybody.
Absolutely. Right. But I also know, you know, a lot of Democrats who you have to earn their vote by talking about the issues they care about. But also part of it is education. I mean, I talked about campaign finance reform all the time.
Yeah.
And people generally understood it, and generally people were on board with it. I said, we need 3-month elections, and they needed to be funded by the public. Funding, and everybody's like, absolutely, let's do that.
Why can't
that? So part of it is what we talk about.
Let's jump in there, because given the decision in Citizens United, right, it was sort of the culmination of a 50-year march towards legalizing corruption. And I want to be clear about what I mean by that, right? Like, if money is speech and corporations are people, that means that rich people and corporations get to buy as much speech as they want. When you can buy speech, it means you can swing electorates. And if you can swing electorates, it means you own the politicians that you choose to elect. And if you own the politicians you choose to elect, you get to tell them what sort of tax policy and what sort of campaign finance policy you want. So short of an absolute reform of the Supreme Court, we've got a legal case that's keeping corruption in place by not addressing the fact that money is not speech. Leads me to think what we've got to do is amend the Constitution. When you think about money in politics, John, what do you think from just a completely nonpartisan perspective? Because I agree with both of you gentlemen. Everybody I've ever talked to is like, that's stupid. Like, corporations aren't people and money ain't speech.
It's the worst possible job interview process in the world.
Yeah, right. What comes like to mind, John, for you, or what have you looked at that you think is a solution to stop this beholdenness of elected officials?
Well, you have to get money out of politics. I mean, we're in a democracy. Everybody's vote should count the same as everybody else's. And the fact is, you have a lot of people who have a lot of money who are getting a lot more votes than people who don't have a lot of money. That's not the way the system was set up, and it needs to be corrected. One of the problems we have in this country is citizenship. Our citizenship is as poor as our leadership is. If you put a bunch of citizens in a room with a whiteboard and you said, here's the situation, 95% of them would vote to change it.
Yeah.
All of this money being fueling political campaigns is dumbing down the voters. 90% of our citizens are not educated on the key issues. It's not healthy for our democracy.
Yeah, and John, I'll agree with you on that. You know, one of the things that money provides is the ability to stoke people's emotions, which is on the opposite side of what you're talking about, which is, are we dealing with things logically? And you know, when was the last time you saw a campaign ad that was logical? they don't make them because they don't work, you know. But it's also part of the process of being able to say we need to slow down and we need to educate people in order to understand the issues. Because I paged through your most recent book yesterday, and all the things you talk about are all metrics driven. They're all good ideas. They're all being implemented in other places. But for some reason, they're hard to implement here. But it also is because of money in politics is keeping those things from happening.
Yes.
Because once you start solving problems, it's hard to stoke the emotions of the issue at hand.
Right. And a lot of them are related to money in politics. And then there's a bunch that aren't. Yeah. But, you know, we don't have people who want to deal with serious issues. I'll take the healthcare crisis. We have a healthcare system that is twice as expensive as any other system in the world, and it delivers the worst results. In Italy, you will live 7 years longer than you do in the United States. At the root cause of it is unhealthy Americans. 42% of Americans are obese, and it's trending to 50%. And there is
let's just hold it right there. We're going to come back. Let's start with that healthcare piece and dive right back in. My very special guest this half hour is the president of Global Business Trek Bicycles. Really smart guy, independent. He's got some ideas. So does my fabulous co-host this afternoon, Tom Paulswitz, 2-time congressional candidate. My name's Maggie Dawn. We're going to come right back. I love a little deductive reasoning live on the radio. This is important. Important, folks. You're going to want to hear the next part. It's coming up after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network.